1057 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of 1057 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the juggernaut known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that's informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, invigorating, and infuriating emotions, usually felt all at the exact same time. But you get those emotions, I guarantee you, through the 2 hours of our usual show, because we've got an hour this evening. Ashland and Russell is cutting us short, which, you know, I'm fine with, because I'll be at the game. So, Ashland Russell at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, 1 hour from now. They go to the coverage, the John W. Clark pregame show, and at 7:30 is the tip of Ashland and Russell. So hang in after the show for that. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at all the stuff that I want to get into, and I realize I've just got an hour. And it just, it's difficult. It's just difficult when you're used to two.
Right.
But that's no problem. You know, because we can do other things. We can be reached 1-800-551-1057 or by going to drewskaggs.com. That is with a K for the live internet stream of the show. Man, Haiti. Wow.
Yeah.
That's some bad stuff going on down there. And, you know, my wife has already donated. I came in and she said, I donated to Haiti. I was like, great, you know. That's fantastic. And listen, a lot of people are going to do that. I'm not patting myself on the back for that. I'm just saying that that's a lot of people's immediate reaction is to donate. And we know a lot of people that have missions that go down there, various churches in the area. I know of two people that go down to Haiti quite frequently on church missions. What you have in Haiti, obviously, is horrific. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, because all you have to do is just tune into the news and you see the graphic scenes played time and time and time again. And it's awful. But the fact of the matter is, with Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, they're poorer than Cuba is. And that's saying something, if you're poorer than the Castro paradise down there. And you got 9 million people that live there, and you see these thousands of homes that are just these shanties that are just flattened. But there has been aid streaming into Haiti now for decades. But what you have is you've had nothing but leaders down there that are nothing but thugs and thieves. And this is the direct result of this. They've not been able to build their infrastructure, remaining poor. And I don't want to sound callous. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying what you're seeing is a country that is incredibly poor through a lot of their leaders, Jean-Paul Duvalier. In the late 80s, was notorious, a murdering thug who was more than happy to take foreign aid because it went right into his pocket. So just be careful. Yeah, and there's going to be, there's going to be scam after scam after scam going on with this. I would say American Red Cross, something like that. And I know $10 you could put on your phone bill. It's some
text message.
Yeah, it's some text message thing.
Yeah.
I think that goes to the Red Cross. So just be careful. It's just awful, the scene down there. But I thought we were hated by everybody. We were hated. We are hated until the last year. We were hated around them by other nations. But guess who they call first? Us. Who responds first? We do. We always do. Because once again, we show the magnanimous nature of the American people, whose very first thought is to help those people down there. And you're going to see it on display over the next months, and it's going to be years. But you'll see how the American people respond to tragedy. So just think about that next time you hear, you know, people, other countries dislike us. Until, of course, they need us, which is what's happening now. So, you know, there's just a lot of things floating around in my cavernous head, you know, because there's a lot of air. But what is this Conan Leno thing? You talked about it. I haven't watched Late Night since Letterman was actually funny back in my college days when I could stay awake. But I don't watch any of these late night shows. What is going on here?
Well, basically what it is Leno's ratings suck at 10 o'clock.
At 10. So, right. So he had this new show, right?
Right. The new show hasn't done much.
Yeah, it was bad.
I've
heard people say it's a really bad show.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
So the network executives say, you know, we want to put Leno back on the Tonight Show.
So what, does Conan's ratings suck?
I guess. I mean, they're not as
because they wouldn't be making a change.
Jay was there, yeah.
Okay.
But so they want to do one of two things. They either want to put Leno's show on at a half hour at 11:35,
okay,
and start the Tonight Show late,
okay,
or put Jay back on the Tonight Show. And Conan doesn't want to have anything to do with either one of those ideas.
And he's getting Uber money for this,
yeah,
right? Because he
yeah.
sounded like a 5-year, $80 million deal or something,
right.
Correct?
Yeah.
So he's going to get paid.
So,
he's going to cha-ching no matter what he does.
Right. So Conan's saying, you know, it would be a disgrace to the Tonight Show to bump it to 12:05 the next morning.
It would be. I agree with him. I don't know anything about it, but I agree there because right. Johnny Carson put that thing in. I mean,
exactly.
Johnny Carson is the Tonight Show, and it was that time slot.
Yeah, it would be a disgrace to the show to do that. And Conan's got this big deal with the network that he's going to be the host of that show. So if they want Leno to go back and be the host of that show, that's going to screw things up with Conan's contract. So there's just a big debacle about it.
It sounds like a debacle. I don't have any idea. I have no dog in the fight.
And there are rumors that nobody's confirmed this, that Conan is in talks with Fox to do a late night show, kind of like Letterman did when he moved to CBS.
Okay.
So there he may end up going against Letterman and...
But if he does that, then he gets released from his contract, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just go sit on the beach with a beer in his hand and his butt in the sand and collect 20 bills a year? That's what I would do.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if I'm owed that cha-ching, baby, I'm down at St. Bart's hanging with the models.
Yeah, I guess. But
that's
he
just
likes
me.
The show and he wants to keep doing it. But
yeah, there's podcast.
Yeah, that's right. You can do video internet shows now. So.
Yeah.
You do live shows on the internet.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and if you do a live show on the internet, who cares if it makes money if you're getting paid 20 bills a year, million a year to do it?
Really? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But the one I like out of all that group is Craig Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's the only one I like. Laugh out loud funny, that guy is.
I like Conan.
Do you?
Yeah, I like him a lot better than Leno, and in the last few years, a lot better than Letterman.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I've never seen a show of his, but,
yeah.
You know, Letterman's gone down. I don't know.
I haven't really watched Conan on The Tonight Show, but I liked him when he had the late night show.
So we were talking about contracts. This week, did you see, are you a baseball fan?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, Mark McGwire.
Yeah.
Okay, the behemoth that is Mark McGwire that went from, just like Bonds, I mean, he went from, you know, he packed on 60 pounds of muscle in about a year and a half. His head grew 8 sizes.
Yeah.
You know, and same way with Sosa. We all know they were juiced. Okay? And it's destroyed the... baseball's based on records.
Yeah.
And that just totally destroyed the science of the record keeping in baseball, which is what baseball, more than any other sport, is based upon.
Yeah.
Okay? So, McGwire comes out, admits that he juiced himself for like a decade. All right? Tell us something we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay? But I would love one time for one of the... And he's up there with the crocodile tears and all this stuff. He's getting back into baseball as the hitting coach for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is... That, you know, they said, okay, listen, you got to go out and you got to address this because every road trip we're on, we're going to get asked about you juicing. Okay? So you got to go out there and you got to take care of this, which is what he did. With this, but he's crying the crocodile tears. I would just love for one time for these people to say, let me put it this way, All right, you and I can hit a baseball. We're in the major leagues, which is just ridiculous, but we are, okay? You have the ability to extend your career by 5 or 6 years and get paid millions upon millions of dollars to do so. With, at the time, it was legal to do that.
Yeah.
Would you not do it?
Yeah.
Absolutely you would do it. Who, what person in their right mind? I've got it right here. 16 seasons, salary made $74,688,534. You got to add the 534 in there.
Oh, yeah.
So he made $75 million. You know what? That's 75 million reasons I did steroids. Just be honest. And not to mention with the chase and all that that went on, all the endorsement monies that he got in during that time, he probably made another $20 or $30 million just on endorsements. So let's just say he made $100 million over his 16 years. Who wouldn't do that?
Really?
I would. Yeah. And anybody else would do the same.
Yeah.
I would just love for Sammy Sosa, for example. Okay, he's not fessed up either. That baseball has been very, very good for me. I would love for him to come up and say, "Sosa, why, Sammy? Why? Can you explain why you did steroids or HGH?" Yes, $100 million. That's why I did it. Bam, done.
Right.
I get sick of these guys, you know, crying about, oh, you know, I had injuries and I had to extend my career. No, you didn't. You had to cash the checks. That's all you had to do. That's why you did it. You know, be honest. Don't be a politician. Just please come out and just tell us why you did it, and it's for the money. And everybody understands that because we're intrinsically, you know, hey, you get a chance to extend your career, make an extra $50 million, make an extra $70 million, you're going to do it. Everybody's going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But not with these guys. I don't understand what the big deal is about it. I mean, anybody that looks at these people know that they juiced. Listen, I can squat about 480, okay? And I can clean jerk about 370. I can put up about 420 on the bench, you know, without steroids. You don't believe that, do you?
No.
No. And it's but it makes my broadcasting so much better. So I a lot of times I get the question, but people that don't know me hear me on the air. I wonder what, you know, you're not what I thought you'd look like. You know, that sort of thing. So yeah. People wonder what I look like that don't know me, that are hear my voice over the air. And I can only use the only way I can describe myself is I guess the easiest way really is to use Harry Reid's description. I am light skinned with no discernible Negro dialect. Am I not?
That is true.
I am.
That is true.
I am light skinned. So just in the words of Harry Reid. So really, he didn't make a racist statement because it could apply to me. So Harry's official. Did you watch that? I mean, the tragedy down in Haiti has taken this off the front pages. But it wasn't on the front pages very much, but the talk shows that night, on Monday night, you should see these people coming in here trying to defend Al Sharpton. I was laughing myself silly watching him twist trying to defend Harry Reid. I mean, it was just delicious. I really enjoyed it. It was actually something I watched on MSNBC. Usually, if I have to turn it on MSNBC, which I very rarely watch, I very rarely watch any news shows. But that evening, I wanted to see if they were talking about it. And what I need when I watch that show is those puke bags that are on airliners. You think I can get a case of those?
You probably could.
I could. I mean, I really think I need to. To get one of those. This is in the Daily Independent from my Beverly Jones in Highland Heights, which is Northern Kentucky, which means this is a seminar writer. She writes, if we're looking for people to blame about this recent security snafu, we might want to look to Senator Jim DeMint, Republican, South Carolina, who put a hold on President Obama's nominee for head of the Transportation Security Administration, otherwise known as the TSA. It's no wonder agencies might be less than efficient if they must function without appropriate leadership. So you're telling me that this huge agency that oversees every airport in this country, the thousands of flights each and every day, just cannot function without the head. That's basically what she said. Why aren't all the flights just grounded until this happens? Because it functions just fine, Beverly. The front pages in cable news are awash with details and opinions of the Christmas Day airline terrorist attempt, yet I haven't heard much about these raw political ploys by senators of the opposition who not only refuse to allow for open consideration of nominees, but single-handedly control the process and information that citizens need in order to participate. What's happened to responsible representation? DeMint and company make it look like a dictatorship. Where's the freedom? Where is the freedom? Beverly ends. Beverly, Jim DeMint is in the minority party. Okay? If you want to know what happened here, the reason is President Obama took 243 days to advance his nominee. He's only been in office a little more than 365. Okay? And Harry Reid's been too busy with this healthcare debacle to schedule debate on the confirmation of this TSA head. But Beverly, honey, if you're concerned with agencies that don't have titular heads like this and have not been confirmed, it's awful. What happened to the freedom? This is a dictatorship. Beverly, look into how many czars we have. Why do you think it is that the president appointed all these czars? He doesn't need these heads. He doesn't need the heads of any number of agencies. EPA, banking, all of this stuff. He has appointed czars that went around the ratification process, which is in the Constitution. There are scores of federal agencies that do not have heads running them right now because the czars have taken their place. So you want to hit dictatorship, I tell you what, it smacks me more of a dictatorship by putting hand-selected czars in position of power that are not responsibility to the people vis-a-vis the electoral process. All right, that smacks it of dictatorship more than what she's talking about. Now, the reason that Jim DeMint has said, I don't want this guy confirmed, is because he wants to unionize all of the screeners, the baggage handlers, all of it, all of the transportation industry in America. This guy is in favor of all of it being unionized. So, Beverly, if you're going to talk about Christmas Day bombing and all of this stuff, okay, what is their responsibility? To protect American people. Screeners, what have you. That's ultimately their role on the front lines of the fight against Islamic fascism. That's ultimately their role. Okay? Let me ask you this. Is our military unionized? No. It's not unionized. So if you want to make the claim that this is all Republicans' fault, this is all DeMint's fault, because he won't. If we had a head of the TSA, this would not have occurred. Absolutely not. That guy's sitting on his rump in D.C., going to the cocktail parties, would have stopped the Christmas Day panty bomber. Give me a break. I mean, seriously, do these people even think before they write sometimes? Because I guarantee you, this letter right here that I just read is in probably 10 or 20 newspapers across Kentucky. It's kind of like this. Did you see where the president has announced he's going to start taxing banks?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, the average person, that this is aimed towards is the one that pays no attention to politics, but says to him and his buddies when they're sitting around at the Legion drinking, "Hey, did you see? The president's going to take those bankers down. He's gonna tax them. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Hey, right. That's right. He ought to tax those bankers. What do you think the banks are going to do? What do you think who is going to pay for this tax? It ain't the bankers. It's the guy sitting at the Legion, quaffing the bud. That's who's going to pay. Yeah, that's who's going to pay for it. And you hear about trickle-down economics. That is trickle-down economics in reverse.
Okay, what's going to happen to the money that they raise from these taxes?
From the banks.
Yeah, because they say the money is supposed to pay back for the TARP bailout.
Right, the TARP bailout.
I bet we're not going to see it, are we?
No, we're not going to see a penny
Even
of it.
Our money went to the TARP.
Our money went to the TARP, and now we're going to get banged with these fees that the banks put on us. Now, lest you think you're sitting there saying, well, hey, you know, I bank with Local Bank Incorporated. It's not going to affect me. They're talking about Citibank, and they're talking about something called a Wells Fargo. I got news for you. This thing that this bank fee that he announced the other, it's applicable to every bank in America, regardless of whether you took TARP funds or not. Now, how fair is that? The people that talk about fairness, we want fairness. And what goes unsaid in all of this, you know, you think 787, 800, whatever it was, I can't even remember the ridiculous number, the TARP fund. A lot of people thought it was just going to go to the banks, remember?
Yeah.
It's the Troubled Asset Relief Program, okay? Let me give you an example of some of the troubled assets. General Motors, Chrysler, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. They all got money, too, but guess who's not having to pay anything back? General Motors, Chrysler, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. And what do they have in common? They're now government-run. Dateline Washington, Obama to announce bank fees Thursday.
There's one for you, 19 for me. Be thankful I don't take it all.
A senior administration official says President Obama is ready to announce an administration plan to recover Wall Street bailout shortfalls with a bank fee on the country's biggest financial firms. Once again, Wall Street bailout. Nothing about Freddie Mac. Nothing about Fannie Mae. Nothing about the car companies. Just the banks. The official said the fee would be designed to recoup as much as $120 billion. That's the most administration officials expect to lose from the TARP program that bailed out banks, automakers, and other financial firms. So they kind of threw the automakers in there. Targeting an industry whose political deafness has vexed his administration, Obama is weighing a levy aimed at recovering tax dollars from government-rescued financial institutions. A lie. That is not what he's doing. He is putting this to every bank in America. The proposed levy could put Obama on the popular side of public opinion. Now you know why he's doing it. Because the average person is saying, that's exactly right. I agree completely. Listen, I might not agree with the president on a lot of things, but I agree here. Those fat cat bankers, they need to get nailed. I'm all for it. When if you just think about it, it's those same people saying that are going to be the ones paying the tax. And here's the interesting thing. There's no sunset provision on this. It says to pay back the 120. You think once that gets paid back that the tax is going to go away? Of course it's not going to go away. When's the last time you saw a government program go away? Seriously, when is the last time? I can't think of one.
I don't either.
I can think of all kinds of government programs that have been introduced all the way back to Bush's silly Medicare expansion. Whatever happened to that? That was $500 billion. We were going to expand Medicare, coverage for seniors. Everything was going to be great. And that didn't work either. The idea received an early boost from Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Wow. That's a shock. When did Nancy Pelosi ever not like a tax? She's all about taxing, except Botox. Quote, while we have not seen any specific language from the administration, Congress will certainly examine any serious proposals to lower the deficit and recoup even more of the TARP funds for the taxpayers. You are the morons that put us into the deficit. Nancy? So, these same people that decided, well, you know, we're $450 billion shortfall. I know the solution. Let's make it a $1.9 trillion shortfall. That'll work. So the same people that put us into a $1.9 trillion hole just this fiscal year are the same people now on their pedestal saying, we're going to stick it to the bankers and we're going to pay down the deficit. No, you're not. We are going to pay down the deficit with higher fees. With the banks. So this was passed in 2008, created the TARP. It requires the president to seek a way to recoup unrecovered TARP money from financial institutions, but 5 years after the law was enacted. So you've got a law in the books saying you've got to, within 5 years, recover this money. Doesn't say how you're supposed to do it. So after a year, the president decides, I know what the law says, but screw that. I'm at 46% in the polls. I got to do something here. I'm gonna come out as being really hard on these bankers. So I want the money now to pay down the deficit, which I caused. And they wonder why average people out here think that they're the biggest walking around idiots in our country. It's because of stuff like this. So you got current law that doesn't trigger this thing for 4 more years. And they're going to go ahead and do it now. It's amazing sometimes. It really, really is sadly amazing sometimes. But the same ones that rail against trickle-down economics, you hear that's supposedly a bad word. You know what trickle-down economics is? It's letting people have more of their money. That's what trickle-down economics is. Cut the taxes on everybody, and they're going to be able to afford more things, like health care, like any variety of things, tuition for their children. But once again, in their infinite wisdom up there, they know what needs to happen here. They know how to spend our money better than we do. And the latest gambit is, well, we're going to phrase it that it's the banks that are going to be the one paying the fees, when that's never the case. They will pass it on to consumers. So the same people that said no tax increases for anybody making under $250,000, none at all. You've got the Bush tax cut sunsetting after this year. Tax increases on everybody. But it's these hidden taxes which vex people. So have you seen these commercials? The president has ordered banks to start lending to people.
I haven't heard
them. You've not heard? I hear them all the time. The financial networks and what have you. The president has ordered banks to start lending to people. So on the one hand, he's saying, go lend money. But on the other hand, he's saying, oh, and by the way, I'm going to tax you. I'm going to tax you coming. I'm going to tax you going. But in the meantime, you need to go lend money. It makes zero sense. I really hadn't meant to get into that, but We got time for this. How about this? This is a letter into the Daily Independent. Now, we don't have time for it because there's an accompanying story. It's the Yale and Harvard thing. I can't get into it. I want everybody to know that we've got an abbreviated show this evening at 7 p.m. Is the pregame show for Russell and Ashland. here in Kentucky in high school basketball. The game starts, it tips at 7:30. So here in just a scant 23 minutes, Russell and Ashland will be on the air. You know, that's become a really good rivalry.
Yeah, it has.
It's pretty heated. And you've not heard anything about this Jersey Shore deal? It's
really
an MTV
haven't.
It's like a reality show.
I know it, yeah.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. Huh?
I've heard of it, yeah.
You got these Guidos from Jersey that have this reality show. And talk about juice. You should see these guys. They're so steroided, it's not even funny. So that's supposedly what the Ashland student section is supposed to dress as, is Jersey Shore people. I don't know what that entails.
I don't know anything about it. I've never seen it, but I do remember hearing about it.
Have you ever been to Jersey?
Yes, I have.
Really? Whereabouts?
Just outside
the
of
shore?
Newark. No.
So you've been to Newark?
Newark and Morristown and right around there.
Man, I spent 4 days in Newark one time. It was 3 or 4 days for a business deal. Interesting town. Interesting town. Man.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to do in Newark when the sun goes down. I don't think you really want to be doing a lot in Newark.
I wasn't downtown. Huh? I wasn't there when the sun went down.
I didn't even know there was a downtown to Newark. But, Newark's where a lot of flights originate that don't want to go into LaGuardia or the other one.
I stayed in a hotel in the suburb, Morristown.
Morristown.
I took a train into the city every day, so I didn't really experience the New Jersey
Which is cool, being able to go into the city.
Yeah.
You a big fan of New York City?
I am, yeah.
It's a fun town. I like Chicago better, though. The president would love hearing me say that.
I like them both, but I think they're different. So it's
they are different.
It's hard to say I like one better because they're different.
They're definitely different towns.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just prefer Chicago. It's a little more cleaner, I guess. Not that New York's dirty. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. It is a little more, I don't know,
laid back.
I think, yeah, that's probably.
I mean, yeah, you still have the big city feel.
Yeah, laid back is probably a better term than clean or whatever. But.
Yeah, but I like both cities. So that's the deal. They're supposed to be. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm thinking about putting a lot of moose in my hair, and heading over there.
You're gonna go and saying
forget about it.
The Sopranos Godfather kind of thing.
Be careful with that. Be careful with that. They might.
Saying,
huh?
Just saying.
Which, by the way, I miss terribly. There's no good shows on TV. I mean, the last good show I saw was The Sopranos. It went off the air. It's just 2.5 Men is a good show.
It is a good show, yeah.
My wife and I were watching it the other night, 2.5 Men. And I'm burning time for the minute into the break here. Yeah. I don't know how they get away with a lot of stuff they get away with.
I don't either.
Huh?
I don't either. If we tried
do
that,
the censors, do they just, yeah, do they just fall asleep at the switch for 2.5 Men?
Seems like
or it. Or does it make so much money that the censors kind of wink and nod and look the other way?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it in reruns. I'm like, how can they put that on?
Yeah, and that's even, like a 7 o'clock reruns.
Yeah, even on reruns on the local channels. How can they get away with that? It's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You need another coffee?
Well, I was slugging one down when I came in here.
Yeah.
And I had 2 espresso before that.
Wow.
I know. You're ready to go because I brought you in some frappy thing.
Yeah, I had a frappuccino earlier today, and then you brought another one. I'm wired.
So you're ready to go.
Be up till 3 o'clock.
I know. That's what a lot of people – see, that doesn't do that to me. I literally, if I was going to bed at 9:15, I could have a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock and be sleeping like a baby at 9:20.
I usually don't do that. I mean, I can usually sleep, but that's more caffeine than I've had, like, in 2 weeks.
We'll see now. We'll see now. I shouldn't have done that because we only had an hour.
Yeah.
I should have just juiced you up with caffeine with our usual two-hour program.
You can try that again on Sunday if you want.
I see how it is. Time for the world-famous stupid stuff.
Oh, some things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me.
Dateline, the local, .se, which is a Swedish something. I don't know. It's over in Sweden. I don't think it's it's Sweden's news in English.
Okay.
Do they not tell? What do they speak over there? Swedish.
Swedish, yeah.
Do they? I didn't know. So, floor collapses at Swedish Weight Watchers clinic.
Come tumbling down the walls. Come crumbling, crumbling the walls. Come tumbling.
is too easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The floor of a Weight Watchers clinic in south-central Sweden collapsed Wednesday night beneath a group of about 20 participants in the weight loss program. The Weight Watchers participants had gathered in the group's facility to see how much weight they had lost. Not enough, obviously. Do you think they had the scales like the Biggest Loser? Have you seen those? Those are the biggest scales in existence.
I know.
I think they weigh those. It's like cattle. You know how you weigh cattle going to slaughter?
Right.
That's kind of what they are.
Yeah.
And
looks like it.
Do they really? I mean, do they really need to have the guys take their shirts off and have the women with the jog bras on?
No.
They don't need to do that.
No.
Put a T-shirt on.
Seriously.
I mean, I know what they're going for there. They're going for the shock and as it turned out, however, people's weight was not the only thing to fall. We suddenly heard a huge thud. We almost thought it was an earthquake, and everything flew up in the air. The floor collapsed in one corner of the room and along the walls, one of the participants told the newspaper. Then the floor started to give way in other parts of the room. Shortly thereafter, the smell of sewage began to waft up into the room.
Yeah.
Quote, we're going to have to find a replacement premises. Weight Watchers consultant Teresa Levin told the newspaper. The last three sentences are classic, but the Weight Watchers didn't let the damaged floor stop the evening's weigh-in. When everything had calmed down, the participants instead moved the scales to a nearby corridor and set about seeing how many kilos they had shed, and this time the floor held. No one was injured in the incident, the cause of which is still under investigation. It's kind of like it's kind of like the coroner thing. I mean, the autopsy thing that we talked about last show.
Right.
Well, we pretty much know why the floor buckled.
Yeah.
20 of them at the Weight Watchers thing. We understand there was too much weight.
Right.
Right? Which I never got the answer to, now that I think about it. We had a story.
We never did get that.
I know, we didn't. We had a story. It was about somebody that had broken into... a would-be robber had broken into a house and was going for the homeowner, and she warned him. He kept at it, and she just blew him away, and he assumed room temperature.
Yeah.
And the story was, an autopsy is scheduled to be performed.
Right?
Why? Yeah, we know why. He died.
Exactly.
He took a slug to the head. Why do you need an autopsy to do that? And I said I was going to call that coroner. I'm still going to do it. I'm going to get that answer.
We need to know that.
I know. We do need to know that. Dateline Sarasota, two men plan kayak trip across the U.S. All right?
Okay.
Two college students living in Sarasota are planning to kayak across the United States.
Okay.
They're not going to go through Nevada, are they? They're calling themselves the Kayak Dudes, and they need your help to get their adventure underway. These guys are hoping to finish a cross-country kayaking trip with the Ringling Bridge being the finish line. Quote, everyone's in bad times right now. In the U.S., it's just something we can do. If we can actually complete it, it shows anyone. If you put your mind to it and get the right stuff, you can do whatever you want. The two grew up in Sarasota and are now students. They plan to start their journey this summer, launching their kayaks in the Chicago River, paddling their way to the Gulf of Mexico. So they're looking for funding for it. Now, here's the interesting part. They say one of their motivations is the show Man vs. Wild on the Discovery Channel, which happens to be a favorite of mine. What? So they're basing this on they like watching Man vs. Wild.
Yeah.
So they're going to kayak. Okay. They got a lot of planning, a lot of money to raise. They've got a little experience kayaking. They plan to take more advanced courses. They agree facing the elements will be a challenge. Weather will probably be the biggest issue. If we run into a lot of rain or flooding, bears, poisonous snakes, crazy people, hill folk, who knows what you'll find. But I think we'll be fine. And they also call themselves overweight. Yeah, nothing bad can happen there. Two guys that don't kayak watch Man vs. Wild and decide that they're going to kayak across the United States. That's what's known as a recipe for disaster. You ever watch Man vs. Wild?
I've seen it a couple times.
The guy's a lunatic.
Yeah.
He's an absolute lunatic. I watched him the other night. He's in Alaska. Now, he finds this little ramshackle boat. So he's trying to get off this glacier, is what he called it.
Yeah.
And so he gets off of it finally, and he's in this freezing water, and he finds, or he gets in this freezing water with this boat that he finds. It's just a little boat. He's out in the middle of the thing. Okay? And there's glaciers floating by him. I don't understand this has happened because I thought they'd all melted. But they're floating by him, and he turns the boat over in the water to show how you survive a boat being turned over in icy water.
Wow.
He's just a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know, but these kayakers. Guys, you're overweight. You have no experience kayaking. And you're going to kayak across America? And he says, we might run into some crazy hill people. Hey, pal, when your kayak sinks, you're going to wish the crazy hill people were there to save your behind,
yeah.
is what will happen. I want to thank everybody for listening to our abbreviated show this evening. Wild show, because we didn't really have any plans or anything, because we were abbreviated.
Yeah.
As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.